3 o'clock hour on the Hockman and Crowder program. Don't forget, you want to win a pair of those three-day passes to the Tortuga Music Festival on Fort Lauderdale Beach in April. See Jelly Roll and Keith Urban, Luke Combs, and plenty more. Text the word WATER to 20357. That's WATER to 20357. You can get more info at WQAM.com. It's a text contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe will join us this hour because we didn't get to him last hour. So let's take a quick look at the headlines with Alejandro Solana, and then we will move on with our day. They're brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
So the Panthers and Heat both won last night. Hawk, it's funny you open up the show talking about Jimmy Butler either being engaged or being a bit more passive. Yesterday ends up leading the Heat in points and in scoring, but one of those like classic Jimmy games is how I describe it, where it was a quiet 23, got to the line 11 times, made 9 of them, and when you needed him to hit a big bucket, he did at the end.
Because it's funny, you know, we talked about it yesterday when we were doing the show out there, and I said, I don't have any money in my Hard Rock account right now. I'm punishing myself. I mean, they punished me, but now I'm punishing myself by not replenishing it. Although, you know, get to Friday, Saturday, then things going to be full and ready to roll. But Dr. Chuck last night, oh, look at you with the green. What'd you hit last night?
Hit him for 200.
Look at you. What'd you have? The Jimmy Butler over?
Jimmy Butler over.
Because Dr. Chuck bet it as well. We finished the broadcast. You left. Dr. Chuck came, and we were sitting down, and I said, did you bet anything on this game? And he said, no. And I said, he said, what do you like? And I said, you know, we talked about Jimmy Butler. Was, what was it, 18 and a half, I think, was the over-under?
Yep, 18 and a half.
And then the Tyler Hero was, I think, 17 and a half. And Dr. Chuck put the over on Butler. And in the first half, he's like, oh, I picked the wrong guy. It looked like Tyler Hero was going to go for 40 based on the beginning of the game. And then all of a sudden, he didn't come back in for a while. I think he may have been injured. He did come back. He hit the over, I believe, by the end, right? Yeah, he must have hit the over.
Yeah. He had 19.
I remember him hitting a three.
Yeah.
What happened, by the way, to my guy Duncan Robinson?
He wasn't out there much.
Holy mackerel. When he's out there, he stinks.
Yeah.
He doesn't stink.
Yeah, he didn't look good.
Kind of stinks.
Dale. Dale.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome, and I'm going to agree with Solana. Duncan Robinson does not stink.
Look at that. Jimmy Garcia going off the board here.
Wow.
Either not prepared or didn't like what you wrote for him. And so just commented on what just transpired on the air, which never happens because it also means that Jimmy had to be paying attention to what was happening on the air, and he notoriously doesn't pay attention.
Surprise, surprise.
What transpired there, Jimmy?
What I would like to know is, had we not been talking about the Heat and Duncan Robinson, had you just been reading something, what he would have gone with? Because that was...
So what happened? You didn't give him any lines.
I didn't.
And you were ill-prepared, Jimmy?
Really, I was ill-prepared. I actually forgot about the 305 alarm today until it vibrated on my phone with the alarm.
For some reason, that's the first time the 305 alarm has ever caught me off guard, where I didn't even expect. What happened to us?
Yeah.
It got me too. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, you're in New York. It's not 305 there.
Right. You're on a different time zone. You're on a different continent.
Right.
You would think so when you walk the streets. These people are nasty. Hold the door for somebody.
You can't even. Place, New York, man. But that is a special place.
I'm not talking about it's you're 2 feet behind me. You're just getting out of the taxi. And I see you coming, and I stand there for 8 seconds holding the door because I see you're an older woman. And you don't even acknowledge that I'm a doorstop. You don't even acknowledge that I'm standing there. I wanted to trip her.
Well, it sounds like you were doing a nice thing for all the wrong reasons.
Thank you, young man. Appreciate you.
Is that what you were doing it for? Is that why you were holding the door?
I'm just doing it for humanity, but I want humanity to be humane back to
me. Well, maybe your Obama pod hadn't dropped yet, so she didn't know you at that point. Now, I mean, now you're a national hero.
I cut her off in the line, though. We were both headed towards the cashier at the same time. I shot around her.
So anyway, it looked like Jimmy Butler was not going to hit the over, but he did. No.
Hold on a second.
Because he picks and chooses when he wants to play basketball.
I got ripped for doing exactly what Crowder got ripped for, holding the door open for people, being nice, and they don't say thank you, so I whisper under my breath, you're welcome. The exact same thing Crowder was doing
right
there.
I'm ripping him. I just said you did it for all the wrong reasons. You don't hold the door for someone so that you can get a thank you.
But I think it's built up. Like, I'm walking down the straight line. You're walking down the straight line. I step to the side a little bit. You act like you don't see my big ass. You saw me. Give your shoulder a little bit. I'll give my shoulder a little bit. I'm running around cones through the street. It's just, I think it builds up when I get to New York too long that just people are nasty.
Lori and I, we had a cup of coffee outside at one of the little cafes we like to go to during the day. Had a little cup of coffee. And we're walking back to the apartment. I was walking to cash in a cash pop, $50. Mm-hmm. Eh? I'm back on it, baby. Yeah. So I'm walking over to Sultan's. To cash in this cash pop. And a lady is walking towards us. And she says, do you have any idea where the Bank of America lobby is? Because there happens to be a Bank of America drive-through right there. But the lobby is a block away. She goes, she's like, I'm so confused. And I said, oh, I do know where it is. I started to point. And I said, you know what? I'll walk there with you. I'll make sure that you can get to the right spot, because she was an older lady.
Yes.
And so we walked that way for a little over a block. And then I said, it's going to be right in that building over there. And she said, how am I going to remember where I parked? And so I said, here's how you're going to remember where you parked. And I showed her where, you know, this is Corvina and this is a blue awning. You're going to be by the blue awning when you come out and blah, blah, blah. I wasn't looking for a thank you. Now, the moment she walked off to the bank, I said to my wife, I'm like, I am some kind of hero, aren't I? Like, I did have some ulterior motives, and it has to do with, you know, looking good in the eyes of my wife. But I didn't care if the lady thought I was a hero or not. She did, though. She was very appreciative, and that made it all worth it.
And you and like they say, God sees it all. You're doing it because you're a good person. But it builds up. I'm thinking of another story. Because I went to Candies. These little candies I was showing you.
Yeah, those look good.
They're delicious. I bought y'all some, actually.
Oh,
well, I'm gonna buy you some because they're right downstairs.
Very excited. Yeah, you can't tell someone that you bought them something and then say, well, I'm going to.
I lied because I was like, hell, I haven't gone anywhere, so there's no way I bought them since I talked to you the last time. But ladies in front of me, older woman, same thing. It was a different old woman. A lot of old people in New York. She buys cigarettes. The lady IDs her. This lady is well over 21. So the lady kind of giggles, and I next to her, and I say, yeah, I turned 21 yesterday. Mm. She looked me straight in my face and just kept looking back and just, like, honestly ignored me. She looked over at me and ignored me. So that was the buildup before the door.
Where was that at? Like a bodega or something?
Like a, I don't know. They don't have normal stuff here. It's a CVS, but it's not called a CVS. Like a drugstore.
Dwayne Reed.
Little convenience store.
Dwayne Reed. It's, I mean, it's just a different chain.
It's a not CVS, but at the not CVS, the lady
goes, they don't have normal stuff here. He's in New York where they have everything and everything more than anyone else. And he goes, there's a lot of old people here. Like, no, there's just a ton of people.
I don't know. I don't know who Norman Reed is, but it's not
Sunny Isles. Manhattan. You're on Wall Street. Anyway. All right. Let's get the rest of the headlines here before we run out of time.
Yeah. So the Panthers, they won yesterday as well. A little winning streak by the Florida Panthers. And now they're out of the United States because they're headed to Finland. The game's at 2 p.m., as Hawk mentioned. We confirmed it 2 p.m.
on Friday. So they don't play till Friday, I guess, because...
Yeah, no, they're off
they're
until
in
Finland.
Friday.
Yeah.
All right.
Part of the NHL's international games, obviously. They play the Stars. Yesterday, Barkey was back. He had a goal and a dime in his return. This Freddie Freeman has made his mark in the World Series. He's going to be the MVP.
Holy mackerel.
And you talk about there's a lot of old people in New York. I don't know about that, but there's a lot of angry people in New York right now.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is. They are not happy being down 3-0 on the verge of a sweep tonight, man. They're on edge, Crowder.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And you're walking around smiling because you've got money on the Dodgers. Like, yeah, they see you coming a mile away, man.
Freddie Freeman's showing out, though, man. He's just that.
They're not going to be polite to Manny Ramirez. Not today, Jack.
It's Manny Ramirez is telling age jokes at the Gordon Lightfoot's. What's it called? Gordon Normans?
Yeah, Gordon Normans. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not only did the Yankees lose last night, New York City became the first metro city to lose a Major League Baseball game, an MLS game, an NFL game, and an NBA game, all in the same night. The Yankees lost game 3 of the World Series. They're down 0-3. No team has ever come back, except for the Red Sox against the Yankees, by the way. Jalen Brunson and the Knicks lost to the Cavs yesterday. Cavs are hot as hell. They're 4-0. The Giants lost on Monday Night Football. We know that. And New York City FC lost their playoff game yesterday to, I believe, Cincinnati. So all four major pro sports leagues lost on the same day in New York.
Reverse equinox.
So I'm just here the wrong day.
Yeah, they're not sports-wise, they're not in a good spot.
Inter Miami, speaking of the MLS, they play Saturday in their second game of their playoff versus Atlanta United. And yes, Monday Night Football yesterday was not good for the New York Football Giants. They lose to the surprisingly impressive Pittsburgh Steelers with Russell Wilson under center.
Yeah.
Finally, guys, I don't know if any of you have been watching that NBA doc on Netflix. Jimmy Butler was a part of it. I know we discussed Jimmy.
It.
Yeah. I saw Sham Sharania point out that the cast for season 2 of that docu-series, it's called Starting Five, is going to be Kevin Durant, James Harden, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, Jaylen Brown, and Tyrese Halliburton.
He refused to look at me after he said docu-series, and I was just staring at him. And he did a good job. He just barreled ahead, didn't look at me. But then he caught a glimpse of my smile, and you heard a little giggle. Docu-series.
Because there's five of them. Start five. He had to say docu five times.
Yeah. Listen, man, if Hawk didn't call you out on your phlegm yesterday at the Kaseya Center, then I don't want to hear
that
it.
That was bad, huh?
I mean, Crowder literally showed up to do work yesterday to talk on the air with an orange in his throat. It was unbelievable.
Man, a lot of humidity outside. I don't deal with humidity well.
Well, it was inside your throat is where the humidity was.
All that rain out there got to me.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Can't be that humid out because Crowder really doesn't sound that phlegmy today.
I'm indoors.
Yeah. He went to a more temperate climate for his phlegm.
Yeah, man, I got sensitive esophagus.
All right, Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. He is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk some NFL with him.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
If you're always winning, then you don't really understand what it is to win. There's got to be the valleys, the peaks, the ups, the downs. ¿Tú me entiendes lo que te estoy diciendo?
Hawk and Crowder.
Ben Volen, we tried to hook up with him in the 2 o'clock hour. We missed, but now we've got him now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Remember, you're looking for Canes or Dolphins merch this season, check out Caneswear in Davie on University Drive or check out caneswear.com. Ben Volen is the senior NFL reporter for the Boston Globe. I said earlier in the show, Ben, there's so much to talk about. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You saw him, you know, with the Patriots upsetting the Jets this weekend, but there's Tua and Mike McDaniel to talk about, and Jaden Daniels and Matt Eberflus, Russell Wilson after last night. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Where should we start, Ben? You've got a good pulse on the NFL. Where do we start?
I mean, how do we not start with your hometown Miami Dolphins and the fact that they blew another game last week? They let the Arizona Cardinals come back. And the Dolphins are staring at 2-5. And the Bills have already basically won the AFC East. We're not even at October yet. We're not even at Halloween. And the Bills have basically already won the division.
Well, let me ask you this. We read a column yesterday from Adam Beasley. And Adam Beasley essentially wrote in ProFootballNetwork.com, if the Dolphins lose Sunday in Buffalo, Stephen Ross needs to blow it up. That it didn't work. And if you lose Sunday to Buffalo and you've lost to him twice this season, it's over. And what Beasley was suggesting was you might be able to get something for older, better players, Raheem Mostert, Tyreek Hill, Teron Armstead even, and there is no alternative to keeping everybody around when you're going to need to stock up on draft picks.
I guess that's true. I think the fact that you just locked Tua in for 3 to 4 more years suggests that you're not really trying to blow it up. I think the Dolphins should keep it together. And if this year goes sideways, I don't know if firing Mike McDaniel and blowing the team up and starting all over is the answer, because like, why? I mean, it's not like, why would you blow the team up and risk a 5-12 season when you can probably, I mean, you need to start retooling and rebuilding, and you do need to start drafting, and the team is definitely getting older, but blowing it up for what point, you know, to what end? And I'm not sure that purposely hitting rock bottom is what the franchise needs. I just think if you've locked Tua in, I don't think it's been that great under Mike McDaniel. I think Brian Flores did more with less talent than what Mike McDaniel is doing right now. But I don't know if you want to start all over with the new coaching staff and new, like, I don't think you need to blow it up. You've already locked Tua in, and you don't have building blocks necessarily for the future yet. So if you blow it up, you're looking at a total rebuild, and you're looking at a 4 or 5 win team next year. And I don't think the Dolphins need to go that far.
And Ben, what we just saw with Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle, and then you're bringing in Huntley and all that, with seeing that now we've had 2 years, Tua stayed healthy last year. I don't know if that gave him a false sense of security, but seeing what happens if Tua does get hit and that he can miss a number of games and he deals with concussions different than other people do, is this a peculiar situation? Because you really have to have two starting quarterbacks. As we saw, Skylar Thompson is not the guy. Like, in the draft, do you have to approach the draft, like you're saying, free agency different, knowing that now if Tua gets hit wrong, bro, we know we're going to miss a month?
Well, I think that was the Dolphins' biggest failing this year, is not having a better backup quarterback. You don't need to have Tua 2.0 waiting on the bench. You just need someone competent to win a couple of games to keep you floating above water, to go 2-2 while Tua is out, not 1-3. You know, so to me, like, the Dolphins, they should have gone and gotten like Jacoby Brissett this offseason. He would have been the perfect guy to back up Tua. And if you need him to spot start, he can win you some games. We saw what he did last week for the Patriots. Came in cold off the bench, led them in the fourth quarter to victory over the Jets. Like, Jacoby Brissett, to me, is being wasted on the Patriots. He's a very capable backup veteran starter, or veteran backup who should be on a playoff contending team like the Dolphins. And if they had a more competent backup, they wouldn't be 2-5 right now. They'd be 2-3 and 4, or even 4-3, and still, you know, very much in the mix in the playoff race and in the AFC East. I don't think the Dolphins need to go out and like draft, you know, use high draft picks on a quarterback. They just need to invest. Like, the Colts went out and got Joe Flacco this year. There are reports that the Dolphins turned down Joe Flacco, that they weren't interested. And I guess, like the Browns, they weren't interested in having a quarterback controversy with Tua. But, I mean, it is what it is. Tua's got this concussion history, and when he goes out, the team, you know, really suffered. So whether it's a Jacoby Brissett or a Joe Flacco or a Taylor Heineke or just, you know, Gardner Minshew, they got to get someone next year that you can count on to win a couple games.
Josh Dobbs. Give me my guy, you know. Josh Dobbs.
I love Josh Dobbs.
There you go. I mean, anyone better than Skylar Thompson. That was really the Dolphins' failing.
Ben, you say you don't think the Dolphins should blow it up, and I get that, but haven't we seen now? I mean, this would be year 3, and next year would be year 4 of this core offensively, a team that was supposed to be driven by their offense, where it's just not working out. I mean, shouldn't they at the very least take some sort of calls this year on a Tyreek Hill or a Jalen Waddle and try to kind of rebuild this team and form a new identity, because it's not working out with this core right now?
I mean, to me, Waddle is the guy that you would want to keep. He's younger and, you know, has more staying power than Tyreek. And Tyreek probably could fetch you a little bit more. But why did they lose that game last week against the Cardinals? It wasn't the offense. They scored 27 points. It was the defense. They you know, let down in the fourth quarter, gave up 17 points to end the game to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. It was the Dolphins' defense that fell apart, not necessarily the offense. The Dolphins' offense, I think, with Tua back in there now, is going to be okay. They're going to score points. They're going to be more efficient. They're going to move the ball better. It's, can the Dolphins stop anyone on defense? And again, this, you know, this 1-3 stretch without Tua is really going to come back to bite them at the end of the season when it's time for playoff seeding and that kind of thing. I don't think they need to blow it up. I just think they need to prepare the roster a little bit better, go have a better plan going into a season and a little more, you know, like a better backup plan to their quarterback. And they got to fix the defense. I think that's what it's all about right now. They went from Vic Fangio last year to Anthony Weaver this year. It seems like they're just kind of rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. I don't think the offense is necessarily the problem. I think it's the backup quarterback situation, and it's the defense that they really need to get fixed.
And Ben, to that point, because it's something that Hawk said early on, and I disagree with him until Tua went down. He was like, Tua's the main piece of this thing. Mike McDaniel just knows how to call plays when Tua's in. So would you blame, like, did the last month of football change your opinion of Mike McDaniel, or did it make you appreciate Tua's ability more?
I mean, it does make you appreciate Tua a little bit more, but it's not like they cycled through a bunch of really good quarterbacks and they all stunk. You know, Tua's, you're not comparing Tua to other starting quarterbacks. You're comparing him to some of the worst backups in the league. I hate to say it. So, it does give you a better appreciation for Tua. But really, again, this is just about poor planning by the Dolphins, poor roster decisions to go into this. 2 years ago when Skylar Thompson played, there were like 45 quarterbacks who threw 100 passes that season. He finished 45th in passer rating, dead last. I mean, it was known by the Dolphins and the rest of the league that Skylar Thompson wasn't going to be a capable number two quarterback, and instead they still went into the season with him as his backup. And I get it, they didn't want anyone who would kind of threaten Tua, and they didn't want to create any sort of quarterback controversy, but in today's landscape, you've got to have a good backup, especially when your quarterback is known for having these concussion issues that Tua did. So to me, this is not like an indictment necessarily of Mike McDaniel or of the, like, they just got to find better backup quarterbacks so they can stay afloat when Tua gets hurt.
Let me go around the league a little bit with Ben Volen here, because there is so much going on. You saw Aaron Rodgers up close this weekend. I don't know exactly what to do with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I do know that if you fire the head coach, you can't lose the next three games. I know that that's unacceptable. What is going on with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, and what is going to happen?
Yeah, that whole situation is just such a disaster. Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers, I know Rodgers denies it, but let's be honest, he's the one making the decisions there and pulling the levers in New York. That decision by Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers to fire Robert Saleh, and they're only 2-3, I think really has completely blown up in their face, because while I think Aaron Rodgers wasn't thrilled with Robert Saleh and some of his leadership, I think a lot of the guys in the locker room were behind him, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Guys like Sauce Gardner, I think have really been hurt by and were really surprised and taken aback by the firing of Robert Saleh. I think Rodgers has created a real, you know, schism in the locker room. And I think there's probably a lot of guys that don't really trust him anymore. Not only the firing, but now he's bringing in Devontae Adams. And it's like Aaron Rodgers is creating like separate factions in the locker room now, like his guys versus the guys that were there before him. And if you're on the offense, you're like, well, what the hell? Why are you trying to get Devontae Adams the ball? What about me? So I just think Aaron Rodgers has shown really poor leadership throughout. And then you could tell he's just not himself right now. He was on the injury report last week with, I think, hamstring and knee injuries. I think his knee has been swelling up a little bit. and he can barely move in the pocket. He's really lumbering around. He's throwing off his back foot all the time. He is just not himself. The team is a mess. They're trying to, you know, incorporate new pieces on the fly. It's just classic Jets in every sense of the word. It looked good on paper when they started the season, and just Rodgers with where he's at now, 40 years old, not a shell of the former self. The whole thing is just a disaster, and it's hard to feel any real sympathy for the Jets. They brought all this on themselves. You talk about a team that's going to blow it up at the end of the season. I imagine that is going to be just one huge volcanic eruption when Rodgers' contract runs out and they move on and they realize they really do have to start over from scratch. But I have to say, hands down, the Jets are the most dysfunctional situation in the NFL right now. And they've got a Thursday night game now against the Texans, who maybe this is a spot they can steal a win because the Texans are reeling a little bit. Stephon Diggs just tore his ACL and is out for the year. But the Jets are a disaster, and this season is not going to end well for them.
And, man, a lot of quarterback news. And in Indy, man, I really do. I met Shane Steichen. I like Shane Steichen. I think he's a good coach. But what do they do now with Anthony Richardson? Because now he's a healthy scratch. They're starting a 417-year-old Joe Flacco over him. Like, I guess, like, making that decision means what? And then what's the end game to this? Is Flacco now, are they going to give him a contract for next year? Do they try to get AR back in there if Flacco loses a game? Like, this situation's funny to me.
Yeah, I give the Colts credit for making the move. Like, the Browns didn't want Joe Flacco this year because he was too popular, and they didn't want fans clamoring for him over Deshaun Watson. And I'm pretty sure that's why the Dolphins didn't want Flacco. They didn't want any sort of controversy. So I give the Colts credit for bringing in Flacco and having the wherewithal to realize that he definitely gives them the better chance to win right now. His stats this year have been fantastic, especially compared to Anthony Richardson. I think the move became a little bit easier for the Colts when Anthony Richardson tapped out of the game the other day. I think that really upset a lot of veterans in the locker room. As a quarterback, you just can't do that. Anthony Richardson certainly should have lied about it to the public instead of being so forthright and honest about it. It's funny. He's exactly the quarterback we saw at Florida. Just, you know, the talent is insane, but just wildly inconsistent. And I remember in the pre-draft process being like, really, Anthony Richardson, this guy's going to be a top five pick? Like, I get it because of the measurables, but he's a total roller coaster. I mean, he was 2 for 15 passing for 81 yards the other day. There's no other quarterback in the league like him, and it's just too inconsistent for the Colts to be counting on right now. And Flacco, like, it's unbelievable. At age 40 or whatever he's at, he can still sling it, like the old days. And it almost like he's playing better now than he was 5 years ago in today's NFL. So, I don't know if the Colts need to invest in next year for Flacco yet. They still have Richardson under contract for 2 more years after this year at a very cheap rate. So you can give him the benching for now and give him more seasoning. And, you know, Flacco could get hurt this year, so certainly Richardson could be back. Or you say, you know what, we'll get through this year, and then we'll see what Anthony Richardson can do for us next year in year three. But I don't blame the Colts for making the move. I actually give them credit because it's not easy to bench your franchise quarterback. But Flacco is clearly the guy that gives them the better chance to win, and making this move now is going to save their season.
Man, what a difference this Dolphins season could be if you had a Flacco or a Justin Fields. I want to ask you about Russell Wilson or a Jameis Winston. Like, you've seen backup quarterback play that is, you know, not spectacular, Carolina, but certainly better than Andy Dalton Carolina.
Yeah.
We just fell off a cliff, which was ridiculous. Let me ask you, though, as long as we're bouncing around about quarterbacks, Russell Wilson. So is that team officially his now? And what's Justin Fields' future?
Yeah, it's definitely Russell Wilson's team. Justin Fields is, I think, just on a one-year deal right now, so he'll be a free agent after the season. The Steelers, you know, being that franchise, I wouldn't be surprised if they still found ways to get Justin Fields on the field this year and use his terrific athleticism. But Russell Wilson's a great story. You know, the Steelers are only paying him the veteran minimum. The Broncos are the ones paying him $38 million this year. And, I haven't seen the full numbers for this week, but you wonder if the last few years his coaches just haven't been using him properly, because I think in his first game with the Steelers, Russell Wilson, he was under center for like 67% of his snaps, and he was doing a lot of under center play action, and he was like, you know, 11 for 12 for 150 yards and two touchdowns under center with the play action. So maybe just the other, his past coaches have been using him too much in shotgun and haven't been using him properly. But that's a team, like, Mike Tomlin always has that team competitive and tough, and they always have a good defense, and they run the ball well. And if Russell Wilson can just play safe and make a few plays, like, this is a dangerous Steelers team all of a sudden, and Wilson is going to be a really interesting story here coming down the stretch as he kind of goes for redemption in one final chapter here. You know, Justin Fields will be a free agent next year, and he'll be a good backup for someone. I don't think anyone's going to give him a team. I mean, even the Steelers saw that he's pretty limited as a passer. But he's a weapon with his feet, and he'd be a great backup. I mean, man, how good would he have been for the Dolphins if they had him behind Tua? So I think Fields is probably, you know, his future moving forward is going to be as a journeyman veteran kind of thing. But with his athleticism, there's going to be a spot for him in the NFL, kind of probably like Tyrod Taylor, who's made a long career out of being like a backup for teams that have a young quarterback.
And speaking of young quarterbacks, and it's kind of why I brought up Andy Dalton when Hawk was talking about the backup guys. Can Bryce Young play? Because we joked about it, like, on Monday.
Football or something else?
Can he play football, Hawk? Not chess or checkers. Can he actually play football at this level? Because when I watch him play, Ben, I'm doubting it right now.
No, I've had my doubts from the beginning. Not only does he look physically overmatched, but Bryce Young just doesn't seem to have his head about him on the field. He made a play the other day. I didn't watch the entire, you know, Broncos-Panthers game. Like, God help anyone who did. But late second quarter, he's running around with the ball. The Broncos, there's like a minute left. The Broncos have one timeout. And Bryce Young, instead of sliding in bounds and keeping the clock running, he runs out of bounds, stops the clock, lets the Broncos keep their one timeout before getting the ball back with like a minute left. And I don't think the Broncos did anything with it, but why would you go out of bounds in that situation? Why would you give the Broncos all the time, let them keep their time out? It shows he doesn't have the mental awareness on the field to really thrive. And he's still young. Like, he's only a second year player, and you know, I don't know if Tom Brady, you know, had all the game management stuff down, you know, under lock like that early in his career either. But Bryce Young just, you know, when you combine that he's not there mentally and then he just looks physically, you know, completely overmatched, it's just looking like a huge whiff of a pick at number one. I would say an even bigger whiff than Jamarcus Russell was. And, the Panthers, I mean, they see it. They turn to Andy Dalton, and they're not even promising that Bryce Young is going to keep the job when Andy Dalton's healthy again. So I think the Panthers are going to be looking for another quarterback next year. And Bryce Young, I definitely don't think he's going to be staying in the league for too long.
Hey, Ben, who's the best team in the AFC? It's easy to say the Chiefs because they're 7-0, and I guess that's the pick. But I know a lot of people were kind of arguing that the Ravens were after a slow start, but then they lose a bad one this weekend. You mentioned the Steelers. Is it the Texans, or is it just the Chiefs, and we just have to default to them?
I mean, I picked the Texans to make the Super Bowl. I don't love the fact where their offense is at right now with Stephon Diggs going down for the year and Nico Collins is still out right now. I like that they're winning, but their offense is a struggle, and I do worry that when it comes to playoff time that Houston's not going to have enough. I think it probably comes down to Baltimore or Kansas City. And, you know, the Chiefs, another team, not playing that well on offense, but their defense under Steve Spagnuolo is fantastic. And when you have Patrick Mahomes on offense and a top five defense, the Chiefs, I mean, they're going to be there at the end, and they keep adding pieces. You know, I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins is going to be like a total game changer like he used to be, but they're at least making moves and giving Mahomes more weapons. And then the Ravens, like, they're just an offensive juggernaut right now with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the backfield. I know they added Deontay Johnson from the Panthers today. So another weapon. I think that's a good move for the Ravens. They're a little thin in the passing game. So another weapon there. That was a bad loss to the Browns, but that's a division game. Those things happen. The Ravens, you look at their numbers. They're putting up 450, 500 yards every week. They're an absolute juggernaut. So right now, to me, it's shaping up like it's going to be Chiefs-Ravens again in the AFC Championship game. And, you know, we'll see what it comes down to there. But to me, those are looking like the class of the AFC right now.
Don't sleep on the Dolphins, Ben.
I am I am very much asleep and sound asleep, and you will not wake me up when it comes to the Dolphins.
He's Rip Van Winkle. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, thanks for making time for us. We kept you on extra long since you dogged us in the 2 o'clock hour. We figured we'd get the most of our free investment out of you.
That's right. Well, I appreciate you guys.
See you, Ben. There you go, Ben Volen from the Boston Globe.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
That is some cojones, boys! Wow!
Hawk and Crowder.